of job creation, 3.5 million jobs. Unemployment is in the 8% and change range. The economy, this is not to say the economy is wonderful, but I mean,
right. Well, it's interesting. Now the Republicans are going to unveil their own ad this week called State of Our Union. And they're going to do it in North Carolina, Virginia, Michigan, and Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C., obviously. And they're not going to get any votes here. It's just that they're doing it to
shove it in their face.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Okay. The White House is now, they talked a little bit to some of the press this morning, Newsweek magazine among them. And they said, well, the State of the Union doesn't really lend itself to speeches of the ages, and yes, it has to be done, but this isn't really his main speech. So they're sort of trying to downplay the State of the Union because everybody...
Lincoln's asking us to appeal to our better angels, wasn't the speech of the ages?
Yeah, I guess so. Okay, so...
Actually, that was an inaugural.
No, it was. That's right. It was not a State of the Union. State of the Unions haven't generally been such big speeches. I do agree with that. John Boehner had his own press conference, the Speaker of the House today, and he said, well, his read of the presidential speech is we're just going to double down on what hasn't worked. His policies have failed. As a matter of fact, his policies have made the economy worse. And he said, we know that there's a reason I was talking now about what was going on with the Romney press release of his finances. And he says, basically, there's a reason we have a low capital gains. It spurs investment in our economy. Now, speaking of Romney and the taxes today, one thing that came out this morning that has not made it to a lot of the mainstream press, you may know about this, is that he also, until he decided to run for president, had a Swiss bank account.
I told the story earlier in the show, about an hour and a half ago. I'll very quickly tell it again. When I lived in Germany back in the 80s, I always, you always hear about Swiss bank accounts. And so I thought, must be really cool. And so I had to have a foreign bank account. So I contacted a Swiss bank and said, I'd like to open a banking account. They said, great, we charge you 3% interest. You have to pay the Swiss bank to have a bank account. They don't pay you interest. And I'm like, why is that? Well, because we'll keep it secret.
That's right. So then when he knew he was running for president, he dumped out of that.
Right.
So much for this, blind trust, whatever, right. Whatever. It wasn't too blind, I guess.
Yeah.
The other thing is the Republicans are today after the president's budget. It is legally due out February 6th. It's going to be a week late. The Republicans are saying this is because the president doesn't have a plan. I mean, come on, give me a break. Anybody who knows the intricacies of that budget, and it has to be, it's printed by the printing office. It has to go on the internet. I mean, give me a break. Okay. The other thing is that there's a whole long list today of people who are going to be in the president's box. One of them is a woman who's a colonel in special forces, I believe, and she and her partner was the first one when she had her upgrade to colonel are going to be there. Warren Buffett's secretary is going to be there. Gabby Gifford's husband is going to be there, as well as the mayor of San Antonio, Texas, which is doing a government, essentially city of San Antonio, Texas, plan to get jobs in his area. Lots of very interesting people in the president's box tonight.
That's great. That's great. Ellen Radner with the Talk Radio News Service, brought to you by Ellen's new book, Self-Empowerment, 9 Things the 19th Century Can Teach Us About Living in the 21st, by Ellen Radner and Ann Gaiman. Thank you, Ellen. And don't forget, democracy begins with you. Get out there, get active, tag, you're it. We'll see you tomorrow.
You've been listening to Tom Hartmann. For audio and video archives, go to tomhartmann.com.
And now another CentOS Game Changer with sports broadcaster Aaron Andrews.
I'm down in the main ballroom of a 4-star hotel in Austin with Tom, the GM. Tom, you've had 4 wedding receptions in 3 days. That's a brutal schedule.
Yeah, we've been hustling.
Well, your team still looks fresh, and I gotta say, the carpet does too. Talk about your game plan.
Simple. We called in the all-star team from CentOS, and they changed our ground game completely.
CentOS? They're known for uniforms. How do they tackle your floors?
Their towel and carpet deep cleaning service makes our flooring look like new. With our old playbook, we used to rip out the carpet. So we're running with CentOS from now on.
Thanks, Tom. And thanks to CentOS, there's plenty of life left in this dance floor. Let's go up to the booth.
Tile and carpet cleaning is one of the many expert services the Cintas team can tackle for your business. Don't replace your tile or carpets. Call 1-800-CINTAS6 or visit Cintas.com/radio and tell them to bring in the team with the white truck.
We'll be right back with more on 1340 KYNF, Progressive Talk.
Subaru drivers are curious folks, so naturally the people who come into Rancho Grande Subaru in San Luis Obispo tend to ask a lot of questions. One they ask about a lot is about the Outback. People want to know how long they can expect an Outback to run. So Rancho Grande Motors will tell them 96% of all Subaru vehicles sold in the last 10 years are still on the road today. But to say Subaru vehicles are still on the road isn't really accurate, especially as it pertains to the adventuresome Outback. It's true that most of the Subaru vehicles sold in the past 10 years are still on the road, but with the Outback and its symmetrical all-wheel drive, you can bet a few of them are off-road as well, driving through the mud to a trailhead or park to enjoy a scenic overlook. Come by Rancho Grande Subaru in San Luis Obispo. They'll be happy to give answers. Right now, lease a 2012 Outback for $299 a month for 36 months with $2,999 due at signing, or get a 0.9% financing on a 2012 Outback. Model CDC, option package 1, see dealer for details. Rancho Grande Subaru on Auto Parkway in San Luis Obispo.
1340 KYNF, San Luis Obispo's Progressive Talk.
CBS News, I'm Harley Carnes. President Obama's State of the Union speech will be about jobs and taxes and the role of government as he sees it in American life.
President Obama will sound populist themes aimed at middle-class voters. He previewed the message on his campaign website.
I'm going to lay out a blueprint for an economy that's built to last.
A potential campaign slogan aimed at the Democratic Party base. White House Communications Director Dan Pfeiffer tells CBS News, Mr. Obama will also sound a familiar theme.
A return to American values, where everyone's paying their fair share.
Does that mean he's going to repeat the call for higher taxes on the wealthy?
Absolutely. The president believes that Americans should pay their fair share.
Republicans have already flatly rejected the idea of a higher tax on the rich. Peter Mayer, CBS News, the White House.
Most of Mitt Romney's $22 million income last year came from investments. He doesn't punch a clock like you or I. Investment income is taxed at about 15%, and that's what he paid, says his lawyer, Ben Ginsburg.
Governor Romney's investments are reported and taxed in full compliance with U.S. tax law. Governor Romney has paid 100% of what he owes.
Romney's net worth is estimated at about $250 million. He's by no means the wealthiest politician around. New York's mayor, Michael Bloomberg's net worth is estimated by Forbes at more than $19 billion. An update from his doctors on Senator Mark Kirk's condition after the stroke, Dr. Richard Fessler at Northwestern Medical Center.
He was asking for his BlackBerry, so he's thinking about communicating and thinking about work.
The doc says Senator Kirk is speaking better and recovering faster than expected. He has some facial paralysis and some words slur. Arlington National, not the only military cemetery with records problems.
In Texas, Ohio, New Mexico, New Jersey, Maryland, Pennsylvania, audits of military cemeteries have found at least 8 cases of people buried in the wrong graves and dozens of misplaced headstones. The Washington Post says VA officials are trying to contact next of kin, but some of those mix-ups happened decades ago, and the families may be hard to find. Vicki Barker, CBS News.
New York's mayor says he thinks police used terrible judgment when they showed a film about radical Islamist America during counterterrorism training seminars. It's called The Third Jihad.
We all know about terrorism. This is the war you don't know about.
The movie discusses Muslim extremists and their plans for establishing a worldwide Islamic regime. Mayor Bloomberg says the city's intelligence unit has stopped watching that movie. On Wall Street, the Dow is down about 44.5 points. The NASDAQ is down about a point. Oil prices, right at $99 a barrel. Crooks are not always good at math. A woman in Lynn, Massachusetts, who police say used a stolen welfare card to buy 216 cans of soda, didn't drink any of them. She fed them directly into the nickel deposit machine to redeem them and got back $10.80 and did big money damage to the machine. She's 36 and facing charges. This is CBS News.
You have teams in Tucson, Tennessee, and Taipei, and you need to work together. No problem. Welcome to GoToMeeting with HT Faces by Citrix, the easy-to-use, extraordinarily powerful way to meet online. Simply launch or join a meeting with one click from any computer, then share screens and webcams in real time, and review and edit documents together. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and enter promo code 45. GoToMeeting with HT Faces. Try it free today.
Live from Progressive.
Let's take a call.
Hello, Flo. Progressive's Name Your Price option gives me a starting point and then lets me find the best price for me.
Sounds like you know your stuff.
Thank you.
This also sounds like my coworker, Gene, who should be at work in about an hour.
Oh, how'd you know?
You can't fool Flo.
Name your price and save. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or go to progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Available in most states for new quotes. Price match may be limited. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dyslexia may be detectable earlier now that they know how a dyslexic brain appears.
Doctors scanned the brains of 4- and 5-year-olds who have family histories of dyslexia. They found the same problem in the left side of the brain that they detected in older kids and adults diagnosed with the reading disorder. Right now, dyslexia isn't typically detected until kids are older and they've struggled in school. Dr. Nadine Gobb says that's key.
Because it has been shown that the earlier you start intervening, the better the outcome is.
She hopes doctors will eventually create a test that detects dyslexia even before kids attempt to read. Heather Botch, CBS News.
One of the best-known names in baseball is retiring. Yankees catcher Jorge Posada's done. 5 times All-Star, 17 seasons, all of them with the Yanks. He finished with a .273 career batting average as a switch hitter. 275 homers, more than 1,000 RBIs. Most baseball people expect he'll go on to coach, maybe manage. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Becky, thanks for calling.
Oh, no problem.
Lyle, honey, it's time to go home.
DoubleMySpeed.com.
What is that he keeps saying?
DoubleMySpeed.com.
DoubleMySpeed.com.
What is that?
Oh, this amazing site. Lyle logged on to DoubleMy's free comprehensive diagnosis, and within minutes, he knew exactly what was slowing down our PC.
Wow.
Anyway, DoubleMySpeed.com removed dangerous spyware and a virus.
No kidding.
They cleaned our computer remotely and restored it to peak performance.
DoubleMySpeed.com. DoubleMySpeed.com.
We know, Lyle. He's so excited about DoubleMySpeed.com that he wanders the neighborhood to spread the word. But the only thing he can say is DoubleMySpeed.com at double speed.
Gee, I wonder if Don knows about DoubleMySpeed.com.
Oh, Lyle sent him an email.
Don, do you know about
DoubleMySpeed.com?
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 Get your free diagnosis at DoubleMySpeed.com and within minutes, find out what's slowing down your PC.
DoubleMySpeed.com?
Yes, it was a group email.
Get your free diagnosis today. DoubleMySpeed.com. Your PC like new again. DoubleMySpeed.com.
Results will vary depending on your PC software and other factors.
All right, Jessica's coming in today at 12:30, and she's going to be talking about speed dating.
Speed dating.
No, it's not prostitution.
And now, here's Bill Benica.
Hey, Billy. Hey, speed dating. I'll have to bounce out to it because speed dating, we'll find out all about whatever that is. Bocce dating. And I guess you go to activities and you do things and all like that. Kind of like an old folks one. Okay, let's talk about what else is going on in the world today. We're really going to get into surveillance and the whole thing about that because we have three separate things that all came together in one day about that, which is really kind of odd. And then the other thing that I wanted to tell you right out the... Oh, I know what I saw. Starbucks, some of the stores in the Southland, the Starbucks are going to start selling beer and wine. Beer and wine. So now I just want you to know because this is going to be whew, that's going to be something else. So if you go into Starbucks and order a beer and the markup on the beer is about the same as it is on a cup of plain coffee, you'll be paying at least $40 for it.
This is Talk is Cheap. With Bill Benica. The Friends and Neighbors Network.
3 Tesla, 204 coils, 48 simultaneous channels, 5 times faster, 8 times the resolution, and wide open enough to hold a 550-pound person. What does this describe? The new ultra-high-field MRI just installed at San Luis Diagnostic Center. It's the gold standard in diagnostic imaging, previously only available at research hospitals. So don't settle for an outdated closed-in scanner with half the strength when you can choose the new ultra Highfield MRI at San Luis Diagnostic Center. If you live in North or South County, drive a little and get a whole lot more. Lower cost, more comfort, shorter exam time, and image quality never before seen in San Luis Obispo County. For your next MRI, don't settle for an exam on a 10-year-old machine. Insist on San Luis Diagnostic Center's brand new Siemens Skyra. Call 542-9700. The choice is yours.
The choice is yours. If we're using current advertising, the McMuffin of Tesla machines right there. All right. Speaking of food, I want to tell you about Spencer's Fresh Markets Day because today it's only 8 after, about 9 after 12, and at 9, and I'm 9 after 12. Taco Tuesdays today. Taco Tuesdays today. So you go to Spencer's, Emmy Spencer's within the sound of my voice, and Morro Bay, Atascadero, Aurora Grande, Santa Maria, or San Luis Obispo, California. And you go in there and you get two tacos for a buck. Two tacos for a buck. That's free. That's free. That's cheaper than, the other place with the bell. Right now. That's cheaper than the bell place. Okay. I'm just telling you about it. And don't forget, today's the last day to get Spencer's Prime Top Sirloin Steaks. They are cut in about 1-pound chunkies. I got a couple yesterday, And then I also have some cod fillets that are extremely nice. My wife said, Bill, did you pick these out? I said, no, I think I did. She said, anyway, but they're very, very nice, and you're like, well, so they got great seafood going on. They got good meat. They got surf the turf. They got all that. And then they always have other surfing and turfy type stuff, too, you can do. So get involved in that. And then let me tell you what else is going on, because they have, this is the Atlantic cod fillets right here, $5.99 a pound. They're very nice. Okay. Let's say you don't want tacos. You say, Billy, maybe I want another kind of sandwich. What about tri-tip or something? Yeah, they have it right there in the deli department. You say, this is what I want. Or maybe what if you want a boar's head roast beef with Swiss cheese on rye? Anyway. You can get those, and farm fresh produce. The other thing I was in yesterday, I was walking around a little bit, trying to figure out, Bill, what is it you want to remember to tell everybody about this stuff? Because there's so much great stuff, they got the dairy and they got all that. But I remember this, they also have a lot of organic veggies and produce, so that's really cool, because a lot of people like that. And then they also have a big vitamin E healthy living section that, you can buy stuff like that, supplements and whatnot. It reminds me of a couple other stores that have that, and now John Spencer has it. So that's cool. That way you can just shop in one place. You can flip it all over the place, to buy stuff. You save a ton of money at Spencer's, too, and don't forget they have IGA products, which can save you even more money, more dough, more money, more dough. Spencer's Fresh Market, Taco Tuesday, day two tacos for a bone. Get there. I really wanted to do that for you, and I'm proud that I did. All right, let's do, where's that? Oh, I got my birthday way over here, because Tom was... Major Tom had to help me out this morning with some stuff. Anyway, and I'm glad he did, because otherwise the computer wasn't going to work at all. It was just going to be bogged down and nothing. Okay, let's do today our Who's It's and What's It according to the Tribune today, and our When's It's. Our flashback, our highlight mystery on January 24th in 1848, James W. Marshall discovered a gold nugget at Sutter's Mill in Northern California, a discovery that led to the Gold Rush of 49. And it was much preferable to the gold rush that was in Alaska because, it's not near as cold, even in San Francisco, on a winter day. On this date, in 1862, author Edith Wharton was born. In 1908, the Boy Scouts movement began in England under the direction of Robert Baden-Powell. 1978, a nuclear-powered Soviet satellite, Cosmos 954, plunged through Earth's atmosphere and disintegrated, scattering radioactive debris over parts of northern Canada. Our birthdays today, singer-songwriter Neil Diamond is 71, Olympic gold medal gymnast Mary Lou Retton is 44, and actor Ed Helms is a hungover probably again, is 38. So happy birthday to them, Hangover 3, and happy birthday to you if it is yours today.
Happy birthday to you.
Actually, from Chinese New Year last night.
Karen Scott Audiology has moved to a new location. She is now located at 3220 South Higuera, Suite 320, next to the DMV in San Luis Obispo, and now easy to find and plenty of parking. Stop in and see her at her beautiful new facilities. Karen Scott has been serving the Central Coast for over 30 years. Board certified, she and her staff understands the need to have your hearing checked. From your child to your teen, your mother to your grandparents. Hearing loss can occur at any age, and it's nice to know that Karen Scott has the knowledge and experience to help you with all your hearing aid needs. With a wide selection to choose from, they also offer industrial screenings. Give Karen Scott a call today for your free consultation, 541-1790, or stop by 3220 South Higuera, Suite 320, next to the DMV in San Luis Obispo, helping you hear the things you love.
Yeehaw.
Now, you know, I'm going to tell you about this real quick, is the fact that the man that invented the program that I run commercials on, a little computer over here that I bring from home, he made it so if you do something wrong at all, then a little box pops up and says, runtime error S. I think it's a, invalid procedure or argument. So I wasn't really proceduring anywhere, and I wasn't arguing either, so I'm not sure why that is. I asked him one time, I said, can you take that out or can you fix that for him? He goes, Bill, I invented this program for temporary use, when stations changed over from where they were to where they're going or something. And you're the only person on the entire planet Earth that's using it. So I said, well, what would it cost me? He said, I'm not doing it. I'm not getting involved. Okay. So I'll just use the way I have it. Okay, thanks. Yeah, thanks a lot. Thanks for nothing, bud. Yeah, so let's use the way I have it. So here's what's going on now, because I didn't have a little sounder thing. It's our news update time from CalCoastNews.com, and we'll tell you what's going on at CalCoastNews.com. Where did that go? okay. All right, well, okay. We're going to go to CalCoastNews.com right now. I'm going to wait a second. Okay, here it is now, calculations.com. All right, let's tell you what's going on. Whoa, this just hit moments ago, as a matter of fact, by Daniel Blackburn at calculations.com. Supervisor Frank Meacham delivered a firm reproach to a peer Tuesday, referring to Adam Hill's recent phone impersonation of a political rival as embarrassing to the board. He left a recorded message January 6th with the author of a letter printed in the Tribune in which he asked if she was a communist and made other comments. He then identified himself as Ed Waggy, who is challenging Hill for the district three supervisor seat. Meacham also said the incident was taking board time and was not an issue for which the board was responsible. He then asked Hill to apologize to fellow supervisors and to Waggy. They responded by repeating his claim, and the call was a joke and suggested the board get on with its business. Told board members he'd apologize if they'd wish, but he did not. Supervisor Bruce Gibson and Chairman Jim Patterson quickly defended Hill, both claiming the incident had been blown out of proportion by a local media group. Meacham's assertions came after three people used their public comment time to ask the board to sanction Hill for his conduct. In an earlier statement, Waggy said, common sense says to refrain from doing something so foolish that common courtesy would require an apology. Despite Hill's reticence to apologize, Meacham said the matter is far from closed. He challenged Gibson to elevate the discussion in private. That's so fresh, nobody's left a comment yet. That's how fresh that is. Nobody's left a comment yet. They will. You can bet they will. Okay. And Frank's got his 8x10 glossy there, picture, you know, that politicians have, so people can look at it and say, okay, well, I got it. All right, other things going on. Boy, this is a word, strange. Stranger yet because it doesn't want to come up. Federal prosecutors have asked the court to sentence a Paso Robles couple to prison for harboring Filipino nationals who were smuggled into the United States to work under the substandard conditions in a couple of elder care facilities. Maximino Morales and 48-year-old Melinda Morales each pleaded guilty in May to federal charges of harboring illegal aliens who worked as slave labor in the couple's elder care facilities. The couple's sentencing was delayed for a month on Monday. Federal prosecutors have asked U.S. District Judge Audrey B. Collins to sentence Maximino Morales to 21 months behind bars and his wife to 18 months and to have the couple pay restitution of at least $500,000 to the Filipino nationals who are not properly compensated for the work. The Morales, both natives of the Philippines, operated four elder care facilities under the umbrellas of four M's Incorporated. They recruited Filipino nationals to come to the United States with the promise of work as living caregivers. According to their plea agreement, an associate in the Philippines helped the aliens obtain fraudulent visas that allowed them to travel to the United States. There you go. The only weirder story we've had in the last year, I think, is the guy down in Little Saigon, down in L.A. that started his own Army Reserve unit. That recent imports had to pay to get into, and then pay for the uniform. I should have. It was fun. All right, let me see what else is going on. Well, this was in the news. This is I don't know whoever came up with this ridiculous idea. It used to be when I was young and back east that they thought that kids didn't feel as much pain as adults. Honest. So the kids, when you went to the dentist, this is back in the 50s, when you went to the dentist, you didn't get Novocaine. I'm serious. They just started drilling away. They figured, hey, it can't hurt them that much. It didn't matter how much you were screaming and struggling around there and everything. Women feel pain more than men, or so a new Stanford study suggests, because they said maybe women don't feel pain as much. And that, you know where that rumor came from, because women are willing, sorta, to have children, you know, to bear children. And whereas there's no man in his right mind would say, yeah, I'll do that. You know, even if I had the right equipment, men are too chicken to even consider such things. So that's probably where that came from. Asked to score the level of their pain resulting from a cross-section of 250 human ailments, women reported more severe pain than did men by 20%. The survey scoured 160,000 patients' records, and its lead author, Dr. Aturo Butte, said he wanted to make one thing clear. Women's accounts of experiencing more severe pain doesn't necessarily translate into an actual assessment of pain tolerance. While women do seek medical attention more readily than men, they also are more prone to painful disease like arthritis. Researchers say the study garnered pain scores from 72,000 patients. This is a good point. Here's a couple comments. Though some men might take these results as accusing women of being whiners, I have been forever thankful I will never experience. Oh, right here, look, and here's the first comment, giving birth to a 10-pound blob. I really can't imagine what many hours of labor would be like. Women are tough. Thank you for changing the photo. Much better. Oh, I don't know what the first photo was. Okay, we don't care about that. What's the... I wonder what the first photo was. Anyway, that's all I have a comment on, besides the baby thing, which I comment on, too. Okay, that's what's going on at CalQuestNews.com. Don't forget, we'll have Karen Beely in here at 12:05 on Monday. Friday. And you can call in anytime you want and ask questions. We have these phone numbers that you can use any day at any time. 786-2578, 786-2578, 1-866-937-1340. That's 1-866-937-1340. You're more than welcome to come in and talk. Now, here's the interesting thing, too, about that story about the pain thing. Okay, here's the interesting thing, I think. And that is the fact that it's like something that's... Scientists tell you, well, we're pretty sure we're right about this, but I don't know that they can conclusively just know that it's right. So if I taste a banana, and a banana has a certain flavor to me, does it have the same flavor to you? How would you know? There's not like a banana receptor in the brain or the tongue or anything, is there? Well, there's taste buds, but I mean, you know, a specific one for bananas. I think that. So that's a little strange right there. All right, well, we're done being strange today, and we're going to wrap up CalQuestNews.com. And I thank you for sharing today with me. All right, now, we're going to have, coming up here momentarily, Jessica's going to be in just a little bit, and we're going to talk to her. Should I do these now? What time do I got? Okay, yeah, let's do these now, because I don't want to take too long doing them. I'm going to do these, you know, not too speedy, so they don't make any sense, but we'll just kind of look through it. Here's because you maybe not have heard this, sorry, because this was just announced a few hours ago. The entire list of nominees, this is the Academy Award nominees. Here it is. Best Picture, The Artist, The Descendants, Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close, Hugo, Midnight in Paris, The Help, Moneyball, War Horse, and The Tree of Life, which makes 9. Best Actor, Damien, there's some foreign film people here that I'm going to do the best I can. Damien Beecher, A Better Life, George Clooney, The Descendants, Jean Dujardin, The Artist, Gary Oldman, Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, and Brad Pitt in Moneyball. Best Actress, Glenn Close in Albert Nobbs, Viola Davis in The Help, Rooney Mara, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, Meryl Streep, The Iron Lady, and Michelle Williams, My Week with Marilyn. Best Supporting Actor, Kenneth Branagh in My Week with Marilyn, Jonah Hill in Moneyball, Nick Nolte with Warrior, Christopher Plummer with Beginners, Max von Sydow, I'm sorry, Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close. Best Supporting Actress, Bernicio Bejo is from The Artist, Jessica Chastain from The Help, Melissa McCartney from Bridesmaids, Janet McTeer from Albert Nobbs, and Octavia Spencer from The Help. Best Director, Woody Allen, Midnight in Paris, Michael, the guy that did The Artist, whose name nobody can pronounce, Terrence Malick, The Tree of Life, Alexander Payne, The Descendants, and Martin Scorsese's Hugo. Best Original Screenplay, Woody Allen, Midnight in Paris, J.P. Chandler, Margin Call. I'm just going to, we don't know these names. Also, Separation, The Artist, and Bridesmaids. Best Adapted Screenplay is from The Choice of the Descendants, Hugo, The Ides of March, Moneyball, and Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy. Best Animated Feature, A Cat in Paris, Chico and Rita, Kung Fu Panda 2, Puss in Boots, and Rango. Best Foreign Language Film of the Year, Bullhead from Belgium, Footnote from Israel, In Darkness from Poland, Monsieur Lachar from Canada, and A Separation from Iran. The Best Original Score, The Adventures of Tintin with John Williams, The Artist with Ludovic Bourset, Hugo with Howard Shore, Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, Alberto Iglesias, and War Horse with John Williams. Best Original Song, Man or Muppet, The Muppets, music and lyrics by Brett McKenzie, Real in Rio from the cartoon Rio, music by Sergio Menendez and Carolina Brown, and those are the other two. Best Achievement in Art Direction, The Artist, Harry Potter, Hugo, Midnight in Paris, Warhorse. Best Achievement in Cinematography, The Artist, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, Hugo, The Tree of Life, and Warhorse. Best Achievement in Costume Design, Anonymous, The Artist, Hugo, Jane Eyre, and W.E. Best Documentary Feature, Hell and Back Again, If a Tree Falls, A Story of the Earth's Liberation Front, Paradise Lost, Pina, and Undefeated. Okay, so let's see what else we want. Let's see what we care about here. Best person in high heels. Best achievement in sound editing. Well, sound editing is important, you know. People don't give credit to sound editors. Drive, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, Hugo, Transformers, Dark of the Moon, Warhorse. And best achievement in visual effects. Now, that's kind of fun. Because, you know, they got the crazy visual effects these days. And that would be these are the nominees. Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part Deuce. Hugo, Real Steel, Rise of the Planet of the Apes, and Transformers, Dark Side of the Moon.
I'll try and see your vision.
All right, we got some nice music from the Jazz Masters today, and we also have some nice guests that are in today, and I'd like to introduce you, if I may, to, I'm going to introduce you to Jessica Rodlin. God, I love getting old because I can't read my own writing. Jessica Rodlin and Barbie Clark. Hi, Barbie Clark.
Hello.
Thanks for being here, you guys.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
Sure. All right, we're going to talk about something that's new, and I made an off-color remark about it when I started, but we're going to get down to business now. And this is called BocciBocciDating.com.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So first off, give us a general view of what Bocci Bocci is, and then we'll get into more specifics. So what is it's called speed dating. So what's the idea behind speed dating?
Speed dating is 10 to 15 people, 5-minute face-to-face dates. So it's for people who want to meet somebody but don't want to date on the internet and live real right there.
Okay, so the idea is, now say that again, it's 10
It's 10 to 15 men and women, and it's 5 minutes. You get 5 minutes with each person before the buzzer rings and you switch tables. And so it's for people who want to meet somebody and not do internet dating, face-to-face dating.
They're like the 40-year-old virgin thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. Boy, that's, you know, that...
And that movie Hitch, they have that.
Yeah. I know, but the problem with that is, you know, you can score out really fast, you know what I mean? You're going to get halfway around, everybody says, get rid of this one. There's no point.
That's
anybody,
the whole point.
No point in talking
you
to this
only
guy.
You have to sit through 5 minutes.
Well, that's
know,
very interesting.
Like
5 minutes.
And you know after 5 minutes if you want to talk to somebody again or not. It's a pretty good
I don't
time
know if
frame.
That, okay, I'll accept that you know this because you're doing this for a living. I would find that hard to do, to say in 5 minutes, because usually the first 5 minutes is all fluff and who gives a damn, you know? I mean, really, when you start to get to know people, you know, it's like, okay, fine, and you know, do funny things.
And then 10 minutes, you end up twiddling your fingers, and you're like, oh, when's my time to move on?
It reminds me of the old line, you know why men date younger women? Because their stories are shorter. Throw it in. Oh, it's bad. I know. Okay, right there. All right, so we're going to do Bocci Bocci, and we're going to find out more about this. Now, so you set up the – first off, you take input from people. People go on the internet. They look up BocciBocci.com, dating.com,
mm-hmm.
BocciBocciDating.com, and they are you going to speak to Barbie or Jessica? Are they going to speak to either one of you, or you got somebody else's hands on the phone?
The phones would be either one of us, whoever's available at the time, to answer the phone. But the registration is really on the website.
Oh, it is, okay.
And then once you log on the website and register, if you decide you want to date a different age group, you can pick that age group. There's really not any restrictions to if you were dating, you know, if you were 30 and wanted to date 40, or if you were 20 and wanted to date 30.
Or 60.
Yeah, or 60,
I mean,
yeah.
You get a lot of rich guys.
Yeah.
It takes them 60 years to make the money.
Right.
I mean, and so, okay, so now here's, for instance, here's everything I hear. Any single person can speed date. So here you have various groups, though, that cover currently, oh, let me say this. So you currently have upcoming events for ages 21 to 35. So this would be generally something that 21 to 35-year-olds would zero in on.
Yeah.
Okay. And then actually it'd be fun to get somebody that is 50 years old to go to that and say, do you understand the thing they're saying? Have you the faintest idea? Can you Twitter? Can you tweet? Can you do all that stuff? All right, at 21 to 35, then 35 to 50, and then an event coming up for 40-plus, and that's 40 all the way to your teeth are falling out.
Yeah.
All right.
If you're able to attend, yes.
Okay, what's the oldest person you've had in the show?
We've had some inquiries from, I think the last fella I met was 62. But we're open to all ages, and even we plan on venturing out to gay and lesbian as well. We're just kind of building our clientele right now on our basis and getting the word out there about that it's available.
Good idea. Good idea. My next-door neighbor used to own Breezes, which was the gay bar out at Laguna.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I loved it to death. All right, here's the thing. Here's what's going on. Let's talk about more about speed dating. So here I'm supposed to ask you this question. By the way, the questions are written down for me, so I don't have to try to think. Because people have heard what I say when I think. And is 5 minutes enough to know if you want to see someone again? Okay. Well, you know if somebody has eye contact with you.
Well, yeah.
You
talked to somebody for a few minutes at one time and been like, I don't care if I ever talk to that person again, right?
And also,
then sometimes you're like, oh, my gosh, that person's pretty cool. So.
And maybe not for their fault. They could just be downright scary people. You know,
right.
You sit down, you talk to them for 5 minutes, go, woo.
Yeah. Loony. Yeah.
Are you on a particular list of any kind? Yeah. Do the cops know your name?
Yeah. What planet are you from?
Okay. Now, so you're saying the advantage of speed dating are obvious. You don't spend a whole evening with somebody that you know in the first 10 minutes you don't care about.
Exactly.
You know, and actually that's very real. And a lot of comedians talk about all that kind of stuff. You know, but it's true. I think human nature tells us that I don't know. I'm still worried about this 5 minute thing, but you don't have to spend much time with somebody until you know you want to talk to them more.
Yeah, it's really just to get an idea if you even want an actual date or not. So it's just 5 minutes.
See, here's where this older, younger thing, see, this is what happens, because the 25 to 35 is because the girls are all going to go, like. And if you're older than that and that bothers you, you're going to know it in 5 minutes, that you can't stand somebody saying like and three times in a sentence. So,
well, ideally we're going to have overlapping age groups, yeah. So they can kind of, like, we'll have a 21 to 35 and a 30 to 45, so that the people that are on the fringes can kind of choose, do I want to date younger people or older people?
Okay, now, is there a qualification? Do you put certain groups together that you think, okay, these people sort of have the same interests, or how do you do it? And what are the events? Like, what does an event mean? I would come into a large conference room and just go around the room, or how do I do?
We're not trying to actually, we don't have a matchmaking service. We're just trying to set up a venue for people to meet people who might be shy and not want to get out in public or, you know, go up to talk to a stranger. We're setting the event for them to be stationary, where you're kind of forced to talk to somebody for 5 minutes, and then you know, hey, that person's kind of cool. I might want to see them again or not. For the people, it's more for people who tend to be either fed up with internet dating, or the gamut of men or women that they've been dating are just not mentally or emotionally there.
Or they're married.
Yeah. So of course, if you're married, you can't speed date. And, you know, there's some restrictions as to, you know, if you got to be a job and you can't be a creep and all that kind of stuff.
I hope Newt Gingrich is listening to this, because he's not qualified one iota to speed date.
And then all the events are always held at a private spot, at a bar. It's either going to be at a bar or at a restaurant where there's food and alcohol available, so that if you do want to show up and have some drinks before, that you can do that, and then there will be an intermission time for you to get drinks and then to make everybody a little bit more comfortable. But it's not open to the public eye, where everybody can look at you on the inside.
So you'll be in your own private room, like.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I would suggest you don't do a lot of drinking, especially if you're a guy, because somebody wrote a song about it, "Don't All the Girls Get Prettier During Closing Time."
You don't want to be stupid.
Whatever. What the heck is that? All these country songs that relate to all this dating stuff. But, no, that's an interesting thing. Now, here's the thing, though, the good side of this that I really see about this speed dating affair is that that you go into it knowing that the person you talk to wants to be there also.
Exactly.
You know, it's not like you don't have to be as intimidated. You want to just walk up to somebody that you don't know and say, "Hi, I'm Bill," and they go, "Yes, so." And, you know, then you go, "Okay, I just want to tell you that I'm leaving." But, they, you know, it's not like the person on the other side wants to also meet people and is hoping that, you know, they can find somebody they want to talk to further.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, there's no guarantees, of course, with this. You know,
if
you go on the big date, you know, it could fall on your face or whatever.
And you don't exchange names or numbers. So
your
number, and everybody gets a scorecard, and then you score all your dates. And then after the event is over, we notify the people who picked each other and said, "Hey, Bill picked you, Susie picked you, you guys seem interested," and then we would forward their information that they provided for us to those people, and then you're kind of on your own.
Gotcha.
So it's really up to, you know, to you and how you handle yourself or the things you choose to say, being that you're unnamed at that moment.
And you don't have to let somebody down in person either, so if you're not interested, those people have to...
Okay, here's why I'm going to my cheat sheet here, because this is important to know. You can't be explicit sexually. You can't say anything may be interpreted as threatening or as a sexual harassment thing. And you can't say, you know, you can't say funny things to people. And so now, how long have you guys existed?
We just started.
Just started.
Yeah, we're just getting this going. Our first event is actually coming up on Sunday.
Oh, this is, I got you when you're brand new at this.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're going to do a follow-up sometime so we can see, you know, where things went bad and where things went really well. Because, it would be interesting to see how this thing works. Because it does. It reminds me exactly of the 40-year-old virgin thing, which I thought was very funny.
Yeah, it's getting the word out and building up your clientele for all the different age groups. Because sometimes, depending on the age group, you might have a higher interest from men or women, and then it's got to be even. The numbers have to be even, so it can't, for to have an event, they can't be staggered or off, because it wouldn't be fair for somebody who's paying for an event to attend and you know there's 10 guys and there's 20 women.
Okay.
You know.
Okay. Now let me mention again. My guests are Jessica Rodlin and Barbie Clark, and our phone numbers are 786-2578. If you have a question for the ladies, you certainly can call in 786-2578 or 1-866-937-1340. Let me go backwards a second and ask you what brought you to this idea to do this.
It was an idea that I've had for a long time that's not around here, and you've seen it on TV, and we have kind of a small town, but the quality of people that you might, you know, who wants to meet people at a bar, who wants to date anybody on the internet, and it's really was an idea that I've had for a long time to do, just never had the means to do it until Barbie jumped on board, and she's the brains behind it, and I'm the BSer behind it.
I got to try to be both here. It doesn't work. I'm ill-equipped. But here's the thing. So you two are old buddies?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Did you grow up here?
Yep.
All right. And I take it, are you both single?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. You guys just were trying this for you guys.
Exactly.
No, I know. That's good, though. That's interesting. Well, you know, because it's very interesting, because you could do this. You could organize such a thing and be married.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
Say, okay, it's a business. You know, and that's what it is, really. It's
a business.
You know, it is a business.
And we're not going to be single forever.
So. Okay, there you go. And and you'll still, hopefully, if the business goes well,
yeah,
you'll still be involved.
Yeah, that's
okay,
the
that's
idea.
Cool. Nothing wrong with that. All right. So here we go again. You've found somebody. You've given the numbers to each other and said, okay, you know, this person found you compatible, and as far as they know, and he found you compatible as far as you know. And so then you give them information and a contact number.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you provide at the speed dating event. You provide your information, and then in case somebody, if you are chosen and somebody chooses you, which information you want us to pass off to that person, and then you're on your own to contact them, and then your speed dating rendezvous is over. So it's just there's a fee for every time you speed date. So just because you register for one event and you go and three people pick you and everything fizzles out, doesn't mean that gives you a free pass to come back again to a different event at a different age group. You still have to, so like every event would be a new thing, and the relationship you decide to develop between that person is on you.
Well, here's another interesting thing. You have, and I've always thought this. I mean this sincerely. I'm not disparaging anybody, sort of. But, you know, you have the people that got things all over. They got piercings and whatnot and a bone in their nose and neck rings and everything, you know. And I have to be honest with you, at my age, I would, if someone introduced me to that person, I'd say, how do you do? And I would have nothing, I wouldn't know what to say after that. You know, I'd be just so startled that I'd seen that, I'd turn around and walk away and go, ooh.
That's why we have different age groups.
That's why. You see that? Now, you have a tattoo. I can see your tattoo. See, now, in my age group, only sailors had tattoos. That was it. Period. You had anchor somewhere, and that was it. That's the Marine Corps had the Marine Corps. All right, so let's do what else. Bocce screen checks, background checks. How does that work?
No, we don't do that.
You don't do that?
No. It's like any other date you might go on. You're responsible for your own
safety.
Judgment and safety, yeah.
And you know what's sort of come up these days, and I hate to say it, and, you know, we think of ourselves in the Central Coast as, you know, away from all this, but we're no longer. We've become rats in the cage on the Central Coast like any place else. And so, and from, you know, what I observe watching television stuff, is that people would do well, unfortunately, to check out the people that are checking them out.
They should. Mm-hmm.
You know, and see if they can and that, all that. You know, I mean, that was unheard of years ago. You know, they just didn't do it.
Yeah, they'd be safe and sorry.
You hope they didn't get a crazy person. All right. Let's talk about the event that's coming up, the three events that are coming up.
Yeah, the first one is this Sunday. It's actually a special event that we're co-hosting with Vino Versato, the wine bar in Pismo Beach. So that event is for 40-plus age group.
Vino Versato, you need to make sure you cozy up to those two.
Yeah,
because
they're great ladies.
Yeah, and they just started here not that long ago, well, it's maybe a year now, if that. But, you know, another thing, you know, they had that little place, and I remember my wife and I walked in with some friends, and it was kind of like, I don't know if this is going to work, you know, but it's worked really well.
Yeah,
you know?
They've got a really good thing happening down there.
Yeah, that's cool. All right, and then that's the, so this is the Sunday. That's going to be hosted by Vino Versato. It's for age group 40-plus. It includes a glass of wine or beer and light appetizers. On Friday the 1st, you have a 25 to 35.
Wednesday.
I'm sorry. Oh, I don't know. Friday just came out of my mouth. See, that's what happens to get old. The words come out, they don't mean anything. On February 1st, a group 21 to 35. Now, is that going to be in a venue that is appropriate to them? Is that the idea?
Yeah.
So do you know where that's going to be?
We aren't going to disclose that.
Oh, we're not going to disclose that. Okay. Yeah. You don't get to know that yet.
Right before the event, we will.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's interesting.
That prevents, people from just dropping in.
Yeah.
Or looky-loos just showing up.
Gotcha. Okay, February 22nd. Because you're inviting people. They're paying a fee.
Right.
And so you're inviting them. Mm-hmm. So that, if I said, guess where everything's going to be here, and then you get people sticking their head in the door.
Yeah, or we don't want people to say, we'll just pay at the event and not let them know we're coming.
Yeah,
since
right.
they know where it's going to be.
Yeah.
Well, that's all. Don't you just make sure that they have whatever the password is or whatever.
Right, right. Just knock at the door. What's the door code?
Throw the hell out. They have a place in San Francisco that's very cute and totally unnecessary and totally inane, but it's fun. They have a whiskey bar, and that's what it is. It's like, and they do it like Prohibition.
Oh, the speakeasy.
Yeah, speakeasy. And you got to email them ahead of time. You have to get a code word for the date that you're going to be there.
We just seen it on Bachelor.
We did.
Yeah.
Oh, was it on Bachelor?
It was on Bachelor, yeah.
Oh, that's funny. So anyway, so Nancy and I did that, my wife and I. And basically what it was a lot of really, really expensive whiskey drinks.
Wow. But isn't everybody in costume in there? Or no? Or the people who work there in costume? That would be cool.
I'm trying to remember. I was drinking whiskey. How can I remember? I don't remember. I think maybe they were. But anyway, it was a cute idea. It was cute. I mean, it was a cute idea. This is like speed dating in Bocce Bocce. You know, some of the cute ideas are the ones that actually work. You know, that people go, okay, I'm digging this, and I think this is a great way to do this. You know, you're an extension of, when you talk about, you don't want to meet people at a bar or on the Internet. In a way, you're meeting people on the Internet in the sense that, you're going to sign up on the Internet with you, and then you're going to arrange this get-together.
Mm-hmm.
But that's okay because, again, the difference in what you do is obvious, and so that's very interesting, I think.
Well, there's no, on our website, a lot of people think that you might be able to log on and view other attendees, and you can't. And if you think of what's on Internet dating, and so many people do Internet dating these days, and how mindless it is, and how fake everybody really is. So face-to-face, I mean, if you're going to BS, then at least you're doing it face-to-face, and if somebody's going to call you on your bluff, then go for it. But behind a computer, I don't know many people who've met very many great relationships on the Internet who have lasted.
You guys are going to have to follow up with me. Mm-hmm. I have to know how this works. I'm trying to think, because I'm putting myself in this position. If I had to say to my wife now, I had 5 minutes with my wife when I first met her, all you get is 5 minutes. I don't know what the heck I would have said to her. I think I said something rude to her the first 5 minutes.
Maybe that's why she fell in love with you.
Well, that's it. So I've been waiting 25 years for her to forgive me. So that's the thing right there. But no, it's just an interesting idea. It'll be fun to know how this turns out. This is BocciBocciDating.com, and it's BACIBACI in case you've never played bocce ball. How'd you come up with this name?
My friend brought back these little yummy chocolates from Italy, and they had hazelnuts in the middle of them, and they were called bocce bocces. And I thought, bocce means kiss in Italian.
Oh.
So kiss, kiss.
Oh, I see.
They're like Italian Hershey kisses. But
well, that's the idea. The whole idea of the bocce ball is to kiss the ball that's down the field with the other ball. I don't know why I should know that. I'm not that old yet, but I do know that. Okay, so this is just, I think, fascinating stuff. Now, let me give you a number. Let me also give you a number here so you can call. Remember, it's BocciBocciDating.com. It's B-A-C-I. It's B-A-C-I. Pronounced Bocci Bocci. It's 805-801-9148. That's 805-801-9148. You'll be talking on the phone to Jessica Rodlin or Barbie Clark. They'll tell you what's going on. You'll figure out. They'll tell you about how to sign up on the Internet. And then first event's coming up. So if you're interested in trying this, I think if I was a single person, I'd say it's worth a go.
Yeah. And they don't have to call. You could just log on to the website, click on upcoming events, and register.
If you pay your money, you can do kind of what you want. If you can pay your money, you can just sit there and just stare at the person.
Well, you figure the speed date, it costs $25 to attend an event, and we do provide light appetizers at those events. You're on your own for drinks. But if you figure if you're going to go out with your friends, you might pay a cover to get in somewhere, $5, $10, and you're going to sit somewhere on a bar stool and maybe not talk to anybody, or sit in a restaurant and maybe not talk to anybody, where you're going to talk to 10 or 15 women or men face-to-face for 5 minutes. Might be more intriguing than just being on your own, or at least you're getting some action.
I would spend $100 immediately. I'd, at one point, I'd just sit and stare at the person. The other time, I'd just sit for 5 minutes and be cross-eyed. The other time, for another shot, I'd turn around and not face them for 5 minutes. You know?
Yeah.
And they say, okay, time's over. I say, okay. And then maybe another time, have my finger in my nose or something.
Too bad you're married. You would be a perfect speed dater.
I would. But actually, I don't have the kind of money to do that anyway, so it's not going to work. All right. I think this was fun. I think it was a great interview. I enjoyed having you guys here. I hope your business just goes crazy.
Thank you.
Remember, I talked to those girls at that place because they're doing really well.
Yes,
and,
thank you.
And so you're at, is there a, there's no, it doesn't matter where your location is, does it?
No.
Because the only time they're going to really deal with you or see you is at an event.
Right.
All right, so we're not going to care where you are. All right. That's all. That's what we're doing. We're done with that. All right, one more time, 805-801-9148. BaciBaciDating.com. That's B-A-C-I, spaces, datingnospace.com. BaciBaciDating.com. And you'll be talking to Jessica or Barbie, and I thank you ladies very much for
coming in and
sharing your idea. And we'll do a follow-up here in a while, and we'll find out how it's going.
Perfect.
Thank you so much.
For 125 years, Mercedes-Benz has produced the world's most advanced automobiles, and Star Automotive is dedicated to maintaining those vehicles for many years to come. Hi, this is Brian from Star Automotive. I wish to thank over 1,000 Mercedes owners who have trusted us with their vehicles the last 5 years. The Star Automotive Independent Mercedes-Benz Service Center can be found in SLO at the corner of Broad and Francis, on the web at starautomotive.com, or by calling 543-STAR. We'll keep the smile on your face and the star on your car.
Hey, how you doing? Mongo here from Mongo's in Grover Beach. Are you looking for a place to hang out, get an honest drink, have fun, and eat good food? Well, I think we're onto something here at Mongo's. Every day, happy hours from 3 to 7 with phenomenal drink specials. Mongo's Entertainment offers Massive Reggae Monday starting at 10 p.m. We get a live DJ from 95.3 The Beach, my favorite station. Speaking of The Beach, every third Saturday of the month, 95.3 and Mongo's are throwing our beach party, hosted by DJ Danny P on the ones and twos, starting at 9 p.m. with a $5 cover. Come early and feed your face. Tuesday and Wednesday, starting at 9 p.m. is karaoke. Thursday night is dollar beer night and beer pong. Friday and Saturday night, we offer live music from various artists up and down the coast. At Mongo's, we got 6 flat screens showing all sporting events. Sunday's NFL ticket, Monday night football, and Thursday night football. Come on down and watch your favorite teams. We also got free Wi-Fi. Back to our drinks. We're not messing around at Mongo's. We pour such good drinks, I got carpal tunnel to prove it. I should be on Workman's Comp. Oh! On a serious note, come introduce yourself to us at Mongo's in Grover Beach on the corner of 4th and Grand. If not, I'll come and find you and introduce you to the back of my hand. Hey, yo, who loves you, huh?
Hi, honey. I'm home.
What in the... Get that tire off my good rug.
But it's part of my plan to save us money.
That tire is not going to be our coffee table.
Sweetie, this is to remind us that properly inflated tires could save us more money at the pump than a week's worth of gas.
You're getting tire tracks on my love seat.
To remind us that we love saving gas with properly inflated tires.
Discover smarter ways to save hundreds of dollars on gas and help the environment, too. At the Alliance to Save Energy's website, drivesmarterchallenge.org.
.org. Drivesmarterchallenge.org. Okay. I'm trying to drive smarter. All right, we got about 7 minutes before the hour of 1 o'clock, and I appreciate you taking the time to talk to Barbie and her friend, Jessica. Yeah, old memories working again. Oh, let me tell you something that's going on. I wanted you to know about us this Tuesday, and it's not happening until Friday, but please, I want you to know what's happening. Please, if you can attend, please be there. It's a welcome home mission. It's this Friday, January 27th, at the Slow Airport. You'd arrive at the airport on Friday between 9 p.m. and 9:15 or so. Flight arrives about 9:58, but could arrive early. You'll need time to sign the flag and the card. And then, for some reason, my computer decided to cut part of this off. But let me see if I can do it as best I can and tell you about the person. It's Staff Sergeant, so he's been around a while. He's like a big deal. Staff Sergeant Roberts, Army 13 Bravo. He and his family, Mary Lee's daughter Karen, and his son Vincent, who's 3 years old, are returning to the Central Coast after three years stationed in Germany and a tour in Iraq and a tour in Afghanistan. Holy cow. They're making their home in Morro Bay. So it'd be nice to just welcome these people home. If you've even seen it, they don't spend a lot of time at it, but they'll give it a small blip on the news, and it's and you can just see that it's like just amazingly cool for these people. So I think that's marvelous. I think that, and we're not going to say we're sorry. We're just going to bring you home. All right, thank you. Welcome home this Friday at the Slow Airport, 9 o'clock. Other things are happening. We got to get to. I want to make sure we have enough time because we have three things that have to do with invasion of privacy, they all tie together, and one can affect another. So it's really kind of really, really weird. So we'll get to that. We talked yesterday about this whole idea of the Earth caught in a solar storm. I mean, this is a bigger deal than I thought. I didn't know I was supposed to duck. A massive explosion on the sun's surface has triggered the largest solar radiation storm since 2005. It's unleashed a torrent of charged plasma particles toward Earth, though the threat to satellites and power grids and other high-tech hardware is believed to be manageable. You'll know it wasn't the moment those things don't work. Okay. Well, yeah, we didn't manage that. That's interesting because it was yesterday. Yes, I was having trouble signing on the internet yesterday. Maybe it was something else. I don't know. I was very surprised. Anyhow, so this happens when they get a big solar flare. Matter of fact, they have a picture in the paper of the solar eruption, it doesn't seem like much from where we are, but you know, it's thousands of miles high and hideous. Listen to this. NOAA satellite tracked the bright flash of X-ray light into an area on the sun's surface known as Region 1402, the same area that produced a weaker flare Thursday. A coronal mass ejection, which can hurl billions of tons of plasma up to 5 million miles an hour, quickly followed. 5 million miles an hour? I don't want to have anything to do with that. I thought the sun was our friend. It's up there 93 million miles away. But if it can do that, yeah, they've convinced us. They've convinced me anyway. Science says that it's not going to burn out in my lifetime, so I'm comfortable with that. I'm all happy. But then they got that thing that billions of tons of plasma to 5 million miles an hour. That's amazing. Now this is a kind of an interesting thing. So this is a person that I know, and there's people that don't like her because of the low social security thing. I know that, but that she's my friend, so that you don't have to like her for that. That's okay. But she's always been just a very nice person to me, and it's Pandora Nash Carter, and she's going to have a botanical garden thing going on, so she's going to be in to talk about that in the next couple weeks, and she's away because why she's away, what she's doing while she's away, is she got her ship's master's, I was calling, master certificate, Coast Guard master certificate. So what that means is that she can pilot a ship up to 100 tons. Now, she's been sailing. She's been all over the world sailing, you know, with people. She acts as the scrublay. What do you call it? The scullery slave. So she does the cooking and the cleaning. And so she's, you know, gotten a chance to go around in sailboats all over the place. But anyway, but she took this test, and she had to go to school for it first. I mean, there was a lot of hours. It was very, very intense. And so anyway, she passed this thing, which is, and so if you Google, just to get an idea, I thought, well, I don't know what that means, 100 tons. I don't know how to relate to that. If you go on Google and put in pictures of 100-ton ships, you know, that's a big boat. That's a big boat. I think that's a neat compliment. I don't know anybody else that's ever done that. Now, obviously, people have. The guy in Italy apparently skipped some classes and fudged on his test. But my wife and I have concluded, and I don't know if you've concluded the same thing, this guy had to be drinking. You know what I'm saying? This is like the Exxon Valdez. This is like Joe Hazelwood. The ship is sinking, and the guy's having dinner. He's ordering his dinner, saying, I better have some dinner. Okay? And this is while the ship is sinking. So that doesn't make any sense. And then he jumps off the dang thing. Which I can understand, but you're not supposed to. That's the whole thing right there. You're not supposed to. All right. Other things, I want to see if there's anything else I can get to. Well, I got to get to this whole invasion of privacy thing when we come back after the news because it's really big time. And then here's a horse park. Oh, Obama's speech is about the state of the middle class tonight. President Obama is going to speak to us about the state of the middle class tonight. For those of us that used to be in the middle class, I don't really need a speech. I don't think that's really going to help me out in any particular way, but I'll be polite and listen.
CBS News. I'm Hartley Carnes. President Obama called out to some reporters today, says he's pretty much ready for the State of the Union speech tonight.
Is the speech done, sir?
Ma'am, you touch up what?
CBS News Chief White House Correspondent Nora O'Donnell.
This is a political speech in an election year where the president can speak directly to millions of Americans, and he is going to draw distinctions with the Republicans, and he is also going to try to appeal to those independent voters who are overwhelmingly disappointed with the president's record on the economy.
The International Monetary Fund is predicting Europe will slide into recession this year. The IMF says the 17 nations in the eurozone will shrink by half a point, and the IMF thinks the U.S. economy will grow at less than 2%. On Wall Street, the Dow down 33 points. NASDAQ was up 2 points today. A new cancer vaccine is going into clinical trials.
We take a patient's blood, we manufacture the vaccine from the patient's blood.
The point being, says Dr. Kunle Adunsi, the vaccine is made from the patient's own blood, beefed up to fight cancer and then put back to work. At State College, Pennsylvania, mourners by the thousands have gathered at Penn State for Joe Paterno's memorial.
He should be remembered the way he was before the whole scandal went down. I mean, I don't think that should change anything about what he's done.
It's a tough day, you know, losing someone that has had such a positive effect on so many people in so many ways is hard.
One of only eight Marines will do any time charged in the killing of 24 civilians at Haditha in Iraq, and that sergeant won't do more than 3 months for dereliction of duty in a plea deal. The other seven had charges either dropped or in one case was found not guilty. Reaction from that Iraqi town, reporter Prashant Rao.
The mayor of the town said that it basically made a mockery of the people's blood. The doctor who signed the death certificate for all 24 victims said basically it made it seem as though Iraqi blood was worth a lot less than American blood.
The sergeant says today he didn't fire a weapon at any women or children. Academy Awards nominations were announced this morning. CBS's Steve Futterman looks at some of the favorites.
There are two clear favorites, I think, right now for Best Film, The Artist and The Descendants. For Best Actress, also a pair of clear favorites, Viola Davis for The Help and also Meryl Streep for The Iron Lady. For Best Actor, it's probably a race between George Clooney for his performance in The Descendants and John Dujardin for his role in The Artist.
Dick Tufeld has died.
Danger, Will Robinson, danger.
He was the actor in the robot suit in the TV series Lost in Space back in the 1960s.
Danger, Will Robinson, danger.
TMZ says it was Parkinson's disease. Tufeld was 85. This is CBS News.
Motorcyclists often seem rather intimidated. Rough and tumble. Real bad mammy jammers. Little do folks know, they can actually be quite sensible. Especially if they insure their motorcycle with Geico along with their car. Geico's multi-policy discount could save them quite a bit of money. Did I just say bad mamma jammers? Do you ever say so and think, I wish I'd never said that? This is one of them times.
Call Geico or visit geico.com today to see how much our multi-policy discount could save you.
Wearing glasses with Crizal lenses can make a big difference in your vision. Neither the sandstorms of the Mojave Desert, nor the dust and dirt of a Texas rodeo, nor the glare of the bright lights of Broadway can keep you from having the clearest vision possible. For no-glare lenses with great water, dirt, dust, scratch, and smudge resistance, choose Crizal. Live life in the clear. That's C-R-I-Z-A-L. Crizal. Ask for them at your eye care professional.
One member of Congress is resigning this week, but said she wants to be there tonight for the president's speech.
I'm Bob Buss on Capitol Hill. An emotional highlight of tonight's State of the Union may be the presence of Arizona Representative Gabby Giffords, shot in the head in a campaign appearance just over a year ago. Her recovery has been remarkable, but she announced in a video she will resign her seat in Congress this week.
I have more work to do on my recovery.
Giffords' husband, former astronaut Mark Kelly, will also be at tonight's speech as a guest of President Obama's. Bob Buss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Among the acts booked for the New Orleans Jazz Fest in late April are the Eagles, a reunion appearance of the Beach Boys, the Foo Fighters, the Zac Brown Band, John Mayer, the Neville Brothers, Al Green, and just added, Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band. Harley Carnes, CBS News. blurriness, wavy lines, blind spot. These are all symptoms of a chronic condition called wet age-related macular degeneration, also known as wet AMD. It can develop quickly, and it's a leading cause of blindness in people 60 and older. Learn about your risk factors and find out how a retina specialist can help. Just visit amdawareness.org. And if you aren't seeing clearly, get checked now. Knowing the symptoms may save your sight. Learn more at amdawareness.org today. This message was brought to you by the American Society of Retina Specialists and Genentech.
Wearing glasses with Prizal lenses can make a big difference in your vision. Neither the teeming rains of India, nor the snows of Kilimanjaro, nor the glare of the paparazzi at a Hollywood opening can keep your lenses from giving you the clearest vision possible. For no-glare lenses with great water, dirt, dust, scratch, and smudge resistance, choose Crizal. Live life in the clear. That's C-R-I-Z-A-L. Crizal. Ask for them at your eye care professional.
Karen Scott Audiology has moved to a new location. She is now located at 3220 South Higuera, Suite 320, next to the DMV in San Luis Obispo, and now easy to find and plenty of parking. Stop in and see her at her beautiful new facilities. Karen Scott has been serving the Central Coast for over 30 years. Board certified, she and her staff understands the need to have your hearing checked. From your child to your teen, your mother to your grandparents, hearing loss can occur at any age. And it's nice to know that Karen Scott has the knowledge and experience to help you with all your hearing aid needs, with a wide selection to choose from. They also offer industrial screenings. Give Karen Scott a call today for your free consultation, 541-1790, or stop by 3220 South Higuera, Suite 320, next to the DMV in San Luis Obispo, helping you hear the things you love.
I know that when you hear the name Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath, you immediately think of great flushing Toto toilets. Or maybe it's our state-of-the-art Growy kitchen and bath faucets. Or maybe it's those tiny massaging bubbles of a Jason Comfort Air Bath. But here's something you may not know. We have the most fabulous line of cabinet and door hardware on the Central Coast. Knobs and pulls created for whatever look you desire. Rustic, modern, craftsman, Asian, in durable, long-lasting finishes like Venetian bronze, brushed nickel, distressed copper, or even cloisonné. The choices are endless, the quality superb. You'll find that Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath has the county's widest selection of bathroom vanity cabinets in all types of designs. Roomy linen storage cabinets, beveled mirror medicine cabinets, and handcrafted wall mirrors. That's Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath behind Trader Joe's in San Luis Obispo.
Get hooked on Charter and go where satellite can't. Get hooked on Charter Digital. Choice, convenience, clarity, control. Get hooked on Charter High Speed on your internet. It's faster, it's more convenient, and it's a lot easier. Get hooked on Charter DVR. Record programs when you want to see them. Watch them back when you want to see them. Get hooked on Charter HDTV and see the cleanest, clearest picture you've ever seen on TV. Get hooked on Charter and go where satellite can't. Call 1-866-332-6749 today. That's 1-866-332-6749. Charter. Get hooked.
My happy days are our days right here. The happier. Bill Benko talking Chief Friends and Neighbors Network on 1340 KYNS, your news station, where to be happy and all that kind of stuff. Yesterday, the group was in there, the radio station people. You've never seen anything like them. You've never, ever seen anything like them. It's like voracious ants or something similar to that. They had some pizza pies they got somewhere, and so I went in to get some water, and then I thought, well, I'll be back in a half an hour. Maybe I get a piece of pizza. It's gone. There was nothing left. But there was, actually, that's not true. There was napkins, paper plates, and plastic forks and knives and spoons, which I took because I'm having company tonight, and I want to press them. Okay, that's what's going on there. Okay, let's do this story. Where do we want to start with this story? I think we'll start here, and then we'll go from there. All right. So here you have the Supreme Court that says GPS used by police gets a big setback. So they're basically, they've got an idea that some guy's a bad guy, so they put a GPS on the guy's car, and then they go get him. The Supreme Court says you can't do that. You need to have a warrant to do that. You know, that's like a warrantless search in its own way, because you're supposed to be, you know, on your person and all that private. So they say to the cops, okay, you can't do that. So now nobody knows what's going to go on. All the district attorneys are all meeting together and say, well, what can we do? Now, here's what's really weird. Let me find my thing to play for you, too. I got, it's like the whole thing's going on. Same. All right, so maybe you can't, you know, they're discussing all the surveillance methods they use to try to figure out what the Supreme Court's going to allow and what it's not, which sounds like not very much of it. All right. So here you have closely watched streets in Arroyo Grande, 40 cameras in the historic village meant to deter vandalism and other crimes. So they say it was federal grant money. I'm going to guess that this was Homeland Security money. Yes, let's just say that I'm right. I'm almost sure.
So they got Homeland Security. So now they got 40 cameras in a row, Grandy. And because of the Supreme Court decision, they can turn around and say, you can't do that. You can't just surveil a Royal Grandy from pole tops. And then the picture they have in the paper says no golfing allowed. Now, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how many of Al-Qaeda, you know, go to Oro Grande to commit acts of terrorism with a golf club, but any day now, you never know. All right, so then there's that. Okay, now wait. Here you have this over here. This is What's Your Emergency? Paso Robles, a man called police to say his girlfriend's phone was taken by another employee at the bar where she works. GPS showed the phone was at the co-worker's residence. See, the phones have GPS and they just can just trace them. That's one of the things that's being discussed these days, you know, that you can just, they can find you wherever you are. They know where you are and what you're doing. So that's become a big issue. Phone was located in the suspect's vehicle underneath a spare tire, but he claimed he didn't know how it got there. He should have just been beaten with his phone. Anyway. The woman got her phone back, and the business said it would handle the matter internally. Anyway, it's too late. But now, you see, now the Supreme Court's saying, I guess you can't really do that. You can't really do that. Then this thing comes up. I couldn't believe it on CNN today. It's open plays, okay? Drone offers an eye in the sky for police. So here's now a police drone.
Miami-Dade police with a high-flying tool. The 18-pound drone that's been used in war zones in the past is set to soar over the streets. It has a camera attached underneath.
Acknowledge the AV. Yeah.
That gives police officers a look at a designated area without putting lives in danger. The cops have not had to put the drone in action yet, but the flying vessel that sounds like a weed whacker is ready to go.
If need be, we can get a call right now and actually mobilize and drive to wherever in the county. There was an ongoing incident that they would want the microwave vehicle to be used.
The drone will be pulled out in a crisis situation. A tense police standoff is the most likely scenario, but until that call comes, a police team trains regularly in a remote field.
We like the idea that we were able to stop, look down, and stare at one specific point.
And not only is it good tactically for a SWAT call out or any tactical situation, there's numerous search and rescue applications for it. After a hurricane, they could send one of these up fast and assess damage.
The craft can reach up to 10,000 feet, but usually hovers at about 200 because the camera zoom is limited. It can fly 45 miles per hour.
The drone can take off in a matter of minutes, but before liftoff, the FAA has to clear it and then secure the airspace. That could take about an hour.
The county spent $1 on the drone. The rest of the $200,000 cost covered by a federal grant, and police say the public perception the high-tech equipment will be used to spy on county residents is inaccurate and unrealistic.
Well, it's very, very noisy, so it's not stealth. I don't think there's a privacy issue at all.
Yeah. It's stupidly noisy, to tell you the truth. But anyway, okay, so now that may not apply, because if you already have a hostage situation or you have a barricaded situation or something like that, then you already have the police can be called in and you don't need search warrants and all that for that. They're saying the FAA, it's going to take an hour to get the FAA the permission to have you take the dang thing off. See, now, it would seem to me that what would be relevant, would be the size of the city that you're operating this thing in, okay? Now, the FAA in San Luis Obispo is not in San Luis Obispo. It's actually in Paso Robles. All right, so you got to get hold of the FAA and say, okay, we're down here in San Luis Obispo. We're at the corner of Thread Lane and Buckley Road, and the disc jockey's acting funny, and so we need to surveil the guy. Well, so now I admit we're right next to the airport, but couldn't they then contact the tower at the airport and say there's going to be a drone in your area, you need to know that. But no, you got to call the FAA, the cops, and say we need to use the drone in this area. Let's say it's nowhere near the airport. It's way the hell away from the airport and through any flight paths and all that. We still got to call them. All right, so this is really weird, I think. So they spent their Homeland Security money on the happy drone. But you know what we don't have, and there's a lot of complaints about it nowadays in major cities, and that's police helicopters. You know, and I think back then, they've been going on for years. I think back all the way back when I lived in L.A., and you know, there was always helicopters flying around. Just, it was a constant. And being, and I say this in a way that it's hard to understand unless you've been there, done that. But other Vietnam vets will acknowledge that if there's a helicopter, it causes palpitations, and you know, it puts you on edge, because you think, you know, you've been trained to think, okay, you better look around and see what's going on. You know, this could be something bad happening. So, and unfortunately, you don't get over some of that stuff very well. At least I talked to somebody just the other day about it when I was at the VA clinic. I said, when a helicopter flies over, do you still look up? Go, yeah. I don't think there's any Vietnam vet that doesn't. So that's kind of an interesting thing that you kind of come home with there. Another thing I learned, by the way, these guys have been in combat, is, you know, your startle reflex. You know, a startle reflex can be as little as a guy ducking down a little bit. It can be a guy throwing himself on the ground, all combinations thereof. You know, or maybe somebody just turns around real fast and looks, but it's all kinds of things. And so Nancy's upset at me because my startle reflex sucks. I mean, it's really bad. And so I pull her down with me. You know, if I duck down, I pull her down with me. You know, and she's like, what are you doing? You know, now I learn not to pull her down, but I'm still sometimes I'm really close to the ground. And so, and she just starts laughing at me. Says, you know, you're not right. You know what I mean? Stand up. Be a man. Stand up, boy. It's like, man, fine. Now, this is important right here that we've got to talk about. And this is the horse park that's on pace for the planning decision. Backers say the project would not compete with Paso Robles Event Center's equestrian activity. So there, you know, you have what used to be called the Paso Robles Fairgrounds, but now it's not called anymore. So this is up by the airport and by the Youth Authority. And so I would think that you could, because now that it's called the, what's it called again? Now that it's called the Paso Robles Event Center. Okay, when the fair's there, the fair is somewhat subsidized by the state of California. There's a fair board that doles out dough. But other events, people just have to pay the fairgrounds. So if, let's say, you are having an equestrian event and you say, well, maybe I can get it cheaper. Well, they got some competition right there. So they say it's, you know, maybe not going to interfere, but I don't know that that's true. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing. Now, here we have this in the paper that I just have to share because I'm going to throw up. Romney unleashes a GOP debate, and then they got this little box. Romney paid $3 million in taxes, and that was on about 14%. He paid $3 million in taxes, 14%. And then the Gingrich, he made $1 million in income taxes, paid $1 million, a tax rate of about 31%. So, but here's the whole point. These are people that are trying to say that I understand how you feel. I understand what's going on with you. No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't. And Romney gave $3 million to charity. $6 million. He paid in taxes and gave $3 million away. These are men of the people. Right. Right. Okay. It's just absurd. It's just absurd. Well, here's people are going to have different feelings about this right here, and one person already does, in the military. And this is the Haditha trial ends with a plea deal. So these guys that were supposed to kill 24 unarmed Iraqis, they've been basically one guy get 3 months. But they don't say this. They, so far, nobody served any time in the brig. But and this is Marines, so they have the brig. But I would think if he has to serve 3 months in the brig, trying to remember, there's a rule about the brig. Well, no, I don't think so. I don't think a person can be sentenced to more than 30 days in the brig. That's non-judicial punishment. Judicial punishment would be 3 days in a military prison, in which case you would then be discharged with less than honorable circumstances, dishonorable, whatever it may be. You probably would be dishonorable, undesirable, some bad conduct. They have a lot of discharges that they can choose from, you know what I'm saying? There's one for everything you could possibly do wrong. Okay, that's under the. Other things are going on. Now, this is a another thing that, you know, those of us that aren't, we had the thing about the ear tags yesterday and the branding and all that, you know. And for those of us that aren't ranchers, you know, that we're not sure we understand all this, but okay. So here's the thing. High court tosses a ban on killing of downed animals. So what they wanted to do was they wanted to say that people got together. So we want to, if you have an animal that's down, and an animal can be down because it's injured, sick, dying, you know what I mean? So there are people that say, well, that's not a healthy animal. So and there's rules. What they're basically saying is the new California rules would have bumped heads with the federal regulations. Federal regulations are always so strict that there's no point in having more California regulations that won't apply because it's kind of like, you know, Prop 215. You know, the feds trump the, you know, state regulations. So they're basically saying, you know, the feds do have rules about animals that you have to euthanize. It doesn't say, weirdly, in this article, it doesn't say what you can do with them after you've euthanized them. You know, obviously, they're going to be, if you're going to take them to the slaughterhouse, they're going to be euthanized. I don't care if they're in a wheelbarrow. They're not coming back out. So, you know, the way they went in. So I'm not sure I get that. But anyway. Well, if an animal commits suicide, are you allowed to then have it or not?
Yeah.
A lot going on about food these days, and about our food supplies and sources and things and stuff. As an eater of food, I'm... There was this terrible thing that happened yesterday, and this was this tornado that went through Alabama and one places in the middle of winter. No, it doesn't happen. Anyway, killed two and injured at least 100 people. It's just nuts, crazy nuts weather again that we're having. You know, nobody can explain the whole wide world. You know, what are we having tornadoes in Alabama for in January? Doesn't matter, guess what? And then this relates to cold weather right here. Britain is the first woman to ski solo across Antarctica. Felicity Aston skied across Antarctica by herself. Okay. So she needs some time on the couch. I don't know what I'm talking about. All right, then here's an ex-CIA officer accused of leaks. And luckily, and I'm very happy about this too, the Obama administration isn't big on leaks. They're not big on all. They will go after people that they think have leaked something. And so this had to do with information of an Al-Qaeda that was captured. An Al-Qaeda dude was captured a long time ago. He was waterboarded 83 times, and so his case was made as an example by those who believe the interrogation technique should be outlawed. Zubaida. Anyway, but the point is this, is that so this guy somehow leaked this information to the news, New York Times and somebody else, and so now he's in trouble. And, well, he should be. I mean, you know, you work for the CIA and you sign things that say, okay, I'm not going to reveal stuff that's not supposed to be revealed. You don't reveal it. You just, you know, you do it and you should go be punished for it. I'm all for it. I think it's ridiculous. You know, this is people quoted on condition of anonymity. You know, I realize the press needs to try to find out stuff, and the press is going to try to find out stuff. But I have to tell you the truth. You know, when you're screwing your own country in the process, it just really, I find it repulsive. Sorry, I do. Hello?
Hi, Bill.
Hi, Ann.
I was just coming in on the car when you were talking about the Supreme Court ruling on GPS and all of that.
Uh-huh.
Here's what's so puzzling about a lot of this stuff. What is it that most people don't seem to understand about the word warrant? I mean, duh, you get a warrant.
Well, and here's what I'm agree with you. I think for the cops to say we want to GPS somebody when we put this on a car, I don't see what the problem would be with getting a warrant for that.
Right. I mean, the whole point of the warrant was to have another set of eyes.
Let's say, okay, yes, this
you
makes
know,
sense.
A check and balance.
Right.
Because, so let's say some cops aren't going rogue and making stuff up and harassing people. You've got another set of eyes to evaluate the supposed criminal information and either say, yeah, that looks reasonable, here's your warrant, or no, you don't quite have enough, go dig a little more and then come back to me. And apparently, for some reason, that seems to be
So now what do we do? Okay, so now what do we do?
I don't get it.
Now what are we doing? What do we do about the 40 cameras they set up in Rio Grande Village?
You know, my understanding, hasn't the Supreme Court ruled that if you're in a public place, you have no right to privacy, you have no right of expectation of a if you're on a public street?
I think you're right.
You know, now if you're on private property, that might get a little interesting, like if that camera is covering someone's front yard, would they be fair to go complain that this camera's watching my front yard?
Well, that, and if something happened in the front yard and they don't have a warrant, we'll get back to that problem again. So that's a thorny
issue.
Right, so
I imagine as long as it's on public right-of-way, you have no expectation of privacy, so good luck to you. The thing with the drones, again, if you have a warrant, get one. If it's a police action where there's some ongoing crime that is reasonably happening right now and somebody's life is in jeopardy, then you, of course, with a drone, it'd probably take an hour to get somebody at FAA to answer the phone.
You know, that's what's really weird. I mean, I've had to deal, let me explain the circumstance, and I'm not going to pick on them, but I'm going to tell you that they're busy, and we had a tower light, the top beacon of a tower go out, a radio tower, and you're required by the FCC every day that it's out to contact the FAA and tell them your top tower beacon's out, and they log it, and you log that you've done it. And so we had a tower light go out. I don't know why it took them so long to fix it, but it took them, over a month.
Yeah.
But there was no, this is weird. The FCC didn't really have a time frame as long as you contacted the FAA and said, this isn't working. But, you know, it was sort of hellish, to tell you the truth, I tried to pick different times to get on the phone with the FAA and say, okay, you know, I had a whole 8-hour day, 9-hour, 10-hour day, and say, okay, well, here are our tower beacons out. I thought, well, I'll do normal business hours, but that didn't always work either. You know, so this idea of having the FAA clear it is really, I think the FAA needs to, we have two towers. We have a tower in Paso Robles, but that's actually not an official FAA tower per se. I mean, meaning it's not a traffic tower of a municipal airport. It's a private airport. So you have the FAA there. You have the FAA in San Luis Obispo, the tower in San Luis Obispo. That's it. That's it. Why would you contact the towers and tell them to tell pilots, guess what's going on?
I know.
I don't understand that at all.
Yeah, yeah. But, like I say, back to the warrant thing, just go get a warrant. Most judges want to help the police
if they're after bad
guys.
Yeah.
And they're just there to ensure that they've got some oversight.
Well, here was an interesting decision that was made a while back, and I remember when it was made, and this was a Supreme Court, where they decided that if a police officer looked up a driveway and observed someone in a window doing something wrong, drugs, whatever, that they didn't have to have a warrant to go investigate that.
Well, I think there's a imminent something imminent.
Well, why then? But here's the problem.
Or crime in progress.
Well, if the cops think that some guy is dealing drugs, and they say, okay, we think he's on his way out right now to deal drugs, then that's a crime that's imminent.
And well, they think, they don't know. They're making a, you know, some of this, the case that was in the Supreme Court, I think had to do with the length of time they were tagging that guy. It went on for just days and days and days without a warrant. I think you have a limited window where you can follow someone or something to see if there isn't a crime happening very quickly, and after which you'd better send your partner to go get a warrant if you want to carry it on longer.
And here's the thing. The judges also decide this with a warrant, I'm pretty sure. They decide where it is you're looking, what it is you're looking for, you know, and et cetera.
For how
so,
long?
Yeah, for how long?
What,
so,
what you have to be
so if you're specifically saying
on.
We're looking for drugs,
right?
And you find an unregistered weapon,
right?
I don't think they can go get another warrant and try to get back to you before you do something with a gun.
Right.
But I don't think they can. I don't think they can confiscate that property under that warrant.
Probably not. I'm not a lawyer, but there are, like I say, and part of the, like what you just said, the judge is there to make sure this isn't a fishing expedition. You're not just blanketing the whole guy's life, hoping something will turn up. You have to have a reasonable evidence that something bad is going down that you want to catch the guy.
See, here's the other thing. Here's a big issue right now, and this is interesting. That this is all happening at the same time, all this stuff in the news. This has nothing to do with the police. It has to do with Google and a lot of other people that, and Apple that sell these things or have programs
right.
that they can track where you are.
Yep.
You know, they know every store you go into, every address you stop at. Now, they do have, insurance companies have these things where you can, the police, I guess it's been decided by this California Supreme Court, if a parent wants to put one of these devices that measures how far someone drove, how fast someone drove, where they stopped and all that on a minor's car that's in, that they're the guardian of, then that's legal.
Yeah.
They can do that because it's a minor. Now, there's a lot of people that say the minors shouldn't have to put up with that, but anyway, that's where it is right now.
Well, we're getting a very interesting confluence between the state power and private power as far as privacy, and that's going to have to be sorted out as we go along.
But here's my – but you know what you said – when you said this, if you are in a public place, you cannot imagine that you're not being surveilled. You have no right to presume that you're
somehow in a
protected,
privacy
right. Okay. So but that would also apply to, in a way, in my opinion, that to me – that's how I approach the Internet. That's how I approach it. I approach the Internet with – if I'm putting this in on the Internet, somebody somewhere can obtain this information. And hopefully it's not somebody bad.
Well, you know, that is an – because there, that's the other thing. We were thinking in terms of the Internet, like email. Well, mail under federal law is private. You have a reasonable expectation in a piece of mail that that's private. And if someone violates it, you can go after them. And I think people kind of thought of email as, well, it's like mail. It's private. But it isn't.
No, it's not.
So that, I think, got, you know, may have people thinking that they have more privacy on online than they do.
I absolutely agree with you. Emails are not private.
Right.
Emails
and
are not
now
private.
There's court cases in businesses that have made it very clear that if you're fooling around on the computer while you're at work, you have no privacy, none, zero.
Right.
Your boss owns that machine.
Yeah, you.
And he owns your behind. You know.
All you can do on the Internet is trust that. Is trust that where it's going and who's providing you the service to send it is what's going to happen. But they're under no particular obligation either. You know.
No.
They're allowed. Their thing is, well, remember at some point somebody wanted Apple to supply or Google or somebody to supply a bunch of information
right.
to them, and they absolutely refused, and the court upheld that.
Right.
And said you don't have the right to ask them for that information.
Yeah.
You know.
It's a really odd, and it's going to get weirder and odder and all that because on one hand people spill the beans all over the place at Facebook. And then they get all huffy and demand that they have privacy. Well, I don't think so.
Well, and here's what's interesting, and people don't realize what's going on with some of this stuff. It's absolutely amazing. Here's two things that I know about Facebook I've learned recently. One is insurance companies started looking at Facebook.
Sure.
And they're saying, okay, if we have given somebody a disability claim and the guy's saying, you know, I went out and shot hoops yesterday, then they can catch him. By that, and that's a public thing, that Facebook. And then the other thing that was interesting was they're also, now this is really weird, they say that there are banks that are assessing or employers are assessing by the people that you show as friends whether they feel by the friends that you have on Facebook if you're employable.
Yep.
Or they
might just check your Facebook.
Yeah.
If you've got endless shots of you getting you-know-what face at a party and writing about, going out drinking every night, yeah, they may not want to hire you.
I never posted a picture ever on Facebook. I posted a little thing that said it's me, but I never posted a picture. But I was on Facebook and went off it.
I'm on Facebook because it's linked to my blog, but that's about all I post. None of it seems to make much sense to me. It's just jibber-jabber, and it's like, and it's just bizarre to me. Why would you go on Facebook to announce to all your so-called friends that your father died? Yeah. I a friend of mine did that, and I was appalled. It was like, excuse me, I mean...
Well, here's the other thing that's going on.
Shouldn't that be at least a little bit private?
Here's some things that are being contested now about Facebook and privacy issues. One of the big things is when people post pictures of people that don't want their picture posted.
Yeah.
You know, if you're in a private home and someone takes a picture of you and then they decide to put it on Facebook without your permission, that's a violation of privacy, it would seem to me.
Well, yeah, but good luck.
Well, yeah, good luck getting done about it.
Yeah, good luck trying to fix that
mess,
because once it goes out, it's going to be there forever.
Yeah.
It's, like I say, it's a fascinating thing because there is great convenience in being known to, say, Amazon or, you know, that it's the ease of purchasing something, you know. So there's a lot of contacts that become very easy doing banking, blah, blah, blah. Convenience. But you give up a lot of privacy for that convenience.
Well, look at this. What was the big Zazzle? Is that the name of them?
Yeah.
Zappos. They just got zappoed.
Yeah, and then somebody can hack into that and then cause all kinds of mischief.
Here's one of the things, too. I saw somebody interviewed on this the other day. They were just talking about this the other day about security on the Internet. And so the interviewer asked the question. They said, if you take a major corporation like Zappos and they can't protect their email and it's encoded, decoded, side-coded, and coded, then how in the world is a private person supposed to protect themselves? And so they had some obvious things, you know, like if somebody sent you an email and asked for your Social Security number,
right,
and don't do that. But you look at the ease of – oh, here's one of the things they said. Everything that you go to, anything you sign on to with a password, have a different password.
Yeah.
Well, who in that name of tarnation could remember that many passwords?
You wouldn't, you know.
You just can't.
Right.
You just can't.
So one of the pieces of advice, a guy wrote a big long thing, I think, in the Atlantic Monthly or something, and his was to have, like, your bank accounts, keep those really heavily protected with a very complicated password. And for the rest of it, like if you're buying stuff at Zappos or buying stuff at the Swing, you can keep that less. The trick would be to make sure that you are limited liability on your credit card. So there's certain things you just go really heavy on.
The
rest you have to try to cope as best you can and hope you don't get slammed.
I don't have the website in front of me, but there is a website, and I'm sure you can Google it and find it. Make sure it's free. And you can put in your, and it's legit because it's through Microsoft. It's a Microsoft website, so maybe go to Microsoft first. And they have a password evaluator. And so you can say, okay, here's my, if I use this password, what strength do I have? How strong do I consider it? And those are the kind of passwords that I would agree with you. Use something that you can remember somehow, but is very long and complicated and weird, with numbers and syllables and all kinds of caps and lowercase.
Yeah, but just keep that for like your bank or big gun stuff. And eventually that's going to be altered because now they're finding, and this is what they're working on now, is that they're finding that easily remembered phrases are almost impossible to crack.
Really?
Yeah, more than, you know, hitting numbers. For some reason, people remember, you know, let's say you had a fragment of a song or the odds of anybody else picking that odd little phrase or something that your mother said to you when you're three or, you know, the likelihood of anybody figuring that out. It's kind of a new thing they're experimenting with. And that would be easy to remember if you had a favorite little saying.
Well, yeah, you know, I think when we all grow up, our parents make up these weird names and words and stuff, you know, for things. And if you could remember one of those that, you know, would work well.
Or just a sentence, even a fragment of, even a sentence. We danced in blue when the night was purple.
Right.
And the chance of that stringing together of those letters in that particular way becomes apparently very, very hard to crack.
Well, plus exponentially the number of letters that are in it would make it that much harder.
Exactly, but it's very easy to remember.
Right.
Because it's coherent to you, but the computer just sees a random bunch of letters, many of which may not even repeat twice. Anyway, that was who knows whether that'll come to anything.
Well, there's going to be a lot of this. You know, there's going to be a lot of discovery yet about what's going to happen, you know, in social media and, you know, and what's going to happen as far as privacy issues and what's going to happen with all this stuff. You know,
yeah.
As technology, you know, keeps moving forward, you know, and people embrace it the way they do. You know, there's just going to be a lot of issues. There's no question about it. And it's the interesting thing with the Supreme Court that's going to, because there are going to be things that we don't even imagine yet that are going to happen. That's the problem. As we move forward, there's something that you and I can't imagine but will happen. And so now you have a Supreme Court that when it does happen, they have to somehow take, let's say, the Fourth Amendment or the First Amendment or whatever and try to adapt it to it.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is our whole government. Everything we're doing here is a work in progress that we're trying to figure out on the run.
Yeah, really.
You know, it's like building the Titanic while you're in the ocean.
Yeah, if you have
with
something,
a hammer and a screwdriver, and, you know.
You have a rule written in the 1770s that related to the 1770s, and now it's got to relate to 2012.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's what the Supreme Court's there to do, but I don't imagine our founding fathers ever imagined the Supreme Court would be dealing with the kind of thing. They could never have imagined this stuff.
No, no, no.
And there's things down the road we'll never imagine. I mean, we just can't imagine it, but
yeah,
it's going to be there.
Yeah, we're just going to kind of have to wing it and hope for the best. Oh, meantime, you and Nancy should go speed dating and see if you end up with one another.
Well, that wouldn't work, though, because we already like each other, and we wouldn't have to ask all those ridiculous questions. I really want to. It's going to be interesting to see how that works. I'm really asking myself, in 5 minutes of time. So you sit down in front of somebody and you don't want to impress them. You look at them and you go, "Ooh, you know,
yep.
This cat dragged this in." So you say, "Okay, I'm going to come off like a fool if I choose." But you have somebody that seems appealing to you. It's a little bit. The thing that I find a little bit odd about this is, you know, your first impression thing. A lot of it's physical.
Well, you know, it is and it isn't. You and I know we've lived long enough. You can walk into a room and just scan the room, and there's a couple of people there you want to go over and talk to them.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
There's other people in the room, you spot them, and something in your gut says, "Whoa, no, new."
Right, don't get me.
And it's instant.
Yeah.
And those are that gut instinct that if you listen to it, it's highly accurate. You could go to this event. And you could strike out totally. Everybody would be a loser. You just wouldn't be interested in anybody. And then, of course, once you talk to somebody in 5 minutes, you get a feeling like, you know, that person's kind of interesting. And then you go from there, and then maybe on the next date you go, what was I thinking? You know.
I think it's weird but interesting. Have you seen The 40-Year-Old Virgin with Steve Carell?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what it is. It's that thing he went to.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and it, like I say, it's probably about as effective as any going to a regular party, because at a regular party, you wander around and you chat with people, and oftentimes you only spend about 5 minutes chatting with them anyway. And others, that just for some reason the conversation clicks in, and you find yourself spending most of the evening talking to somebody, because whatever they're yakking about is of interest to you.
It's been a long time since I was single, so I haven't the faintest idea.
Well, if you and Nancy go to a party and it's full of a lot of people you don't know, you will find yourself talking to people that you find interesting. I don't mean dating, just talking to them.
Right.
So the same thing happens. You find yourself interested in this person because they're interesting.
Well, here's the good thing about this is, and I will say this, is that you know, let's say you meet somebody at a party and they're not interesting, but they tend to be clingy, you know, and you're trying to figure out a way to get away from this person.
Yes.
You know, and that's oftentimes very awkward.
Yeah.
You know, I always fake a heart attack and stuff. And
yeah.
And get everybody around me at one time and then crawl between their legs and out the door.
Well, see, that's why this thing, the bell rings, and you're just unceremoniously, the hook comes out, yanks you off the table, and you got to switch.
Nancy and I can admit that Nancy and I do this. We do what we call a Lone Ranger.
Yeah.
If we're at a party that we really don't know anybody, you know, I don't even know how we ended up there, but we're at a party where we really don't know anybody, and we both had enough after about 10 minutes, then we Lone Ranger, we don't say goodbye to anybody, we just slowly slip out the door and go away.
Yeah, skulk out the door.
Skulk off. That's it. So I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, I got to protect my sanity somehow.
Well, that, you know, and of course we're getting to the age. It's like, oh, I'm tired. I'm going to go home and put my feet up. And
actually, I'll tell you what. I've gotten to the age where I really don't go to parties.
No, I don't either.
I really don't like 5 minutes of chit-chat with somebody I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I look at it, I have so much time to myself. I only have so much left. And I want to spend it with people that I really like.
Yeah, that's true. But you know, like you've had to go to events where you know it's for work or whatever, and it's the same thing where you have to chit chat here and there and put in appearance and mind your P's and Q's, and then you're free to skulk out the door and run home.
Society's an interesting affair, and that's all there is to it.
Yes.
That's why Bill Benica, and I'll reveal another secret about Bill Benica. That's why Bill Benica about once a month goes on the internet and looks up islands. Islands for sale. I see what islands are for sale out there.
Kind of peace and quiet. And, of course, if you've got PTSD from Vietnam, that puts an extra burden on your nervous system. So you need peace and quiet way more than people that didn't serve.
There you go.
Because your system stays.
And I thank you for calling. By the way, I did your yesterday with Stephen Colbert and John.
It was a bummer. I would have been cool if he'd gotten more people voting for him.
But you know what? I mean, I'm really glad you wrote the piece because I watched it as it unfolded, and I was like you were going, is this possibly true that this is the way it can work?
Yep.
You know, so and we mentioned yesterday, I think you had it in your piece, somewhere in your piece, I think, and you made a comment, and I made the following comment, and I said this: the FCC says that if you sell time to a candidate or the candidate's committee, okay, committee meaning the election committee, where there's a treasurer, so you sell it to the treasurer or to the candidate, then you have to have enough time to sell other candidates the desire to be on for the same amount of time. But if it's a PAC, the PAC can come in and say, we want to buy the next 4 days of advertising, and we'll pay you this, and they can do it. And you don't have to have time for the other people. You don't. That's the FCC doesn't require you to do it for them.
Yeah, see, the FCC hasn't caught up to what's reality on the ground with what's happening with our politics at all and campaign finance and all that. The FCC has barely got its shoes on, and the PACs are halfway around the country.
Well, the other thing, too, Ann, after the Supreme Court said that corporations are people, all was lost anyway.
Yeah, and that's why it would be nice if people would, you know, catch on to what Colbert's up to and wake up and say, wait a minute, whoa, this is heading in the absolute wrong direction.
Really? I got to run, Ann.
All right.
Thanks for the call.
Yep,
bye. Talk to you.
Subaru drivers are curious folks, so naturally, the people who come into Rancho Grande Subaru ask about the Subaru Forester and its impact on the environment. We proudly tell them that every Subaru is built in a zero landfill plant, meaning that it produces absolutely zero landfill waste. How? It's simple. Excess metal is recycled. Packing material isn't used just once. It's reused again and again. In fact, so much recycling goes on at the Subaru plant, there's even a special place for you to put your chewing gum. And no, it's not under a table. If you have questions about a Subaru Forester, come by Rancho Grande Subaru in San Luis Obispo. We'll be happy to give answers. Right now, lease a 2012 Forester, $299 a month, for 36 months, with $2199 due at signing. Or get 0.9% APR financing on some Subaru Foresters. Excludes tax, title, and registration. Call 1-800-SUBARU-3 for lease details or stop by Rancho Grande Motors, 1404 Auto Parkway, off Los Sosos Valley Road, San Luis Obispo.
The Children's Resource Network of the Central Coast is changing lives. The primary focus is to provide local children in need with clothing, shoes, backpacks, school supplies, blankets, and more. Make sure and ask about the newly added Teens Closet. If you or you know someone who is in need of the Children's Resource Network, you can contact Lisa Ray at 709-8673. Children's Resource Network of the Central Coast.
All children should be raised in healthy and nurturing homes, free from abuse and neglect. There are many ways you can help. Support community activities and public policies that prioritize prevention. Get to know the children in your life and know how to connect families to resources available in your community. For information, referrals, and answers to parenting questions, contact the Kansas Children's Service League Parent Helpline at 800-332-6378 or visit us online, kcsl.org.
Thank you for being friendly. I'm Bill Benka. Thanks for joining me today. We'll get together again at noon tomorrow. Until then, may all your trails be happy ones, and don't believe everything you hear here, because it's Taco Tuesday. Two tacos for a dollar at Spencer's.
This is Tarkus G. The game is over. The Friends and Neighbors Network.
Game over.
With Bill Benka.
Bye. Happy trails to you. Until we meet again, happy trails to you. Keep smiling.